jump in quickly. 1 Samuel and chapter 13. Had some more Haitians come in. Luke is back in town in Alita, and had some more Haitians come back in. He did a lot of business out there, and out there raising Haiti for both us and things with his properties and stuff. Did you get your apple trees planted? Yeah, apples are planted. Very good. And then we appreciate those from the Marshall Islands. How many islands are there in the Marshall Islands? Do you guys know? Is there a lot? A lot. Like hundreds? 40-something? There's only 5 Samoan islands? 4 main ones. Okay. And there's America Samoa and Western Samoa. And they're much different. And you can ask them about all that. Don't get them mixed up. They're different. And all right. 1 Samuel 13. And verse 17, and the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in 3 companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to, I'm in chapter 13 first. Sorry, I said 14, but 13 first. 3 companies. One company turned this way to leadeth to Ophrah and the land of Shual. And I'm going to go down just a little bit. Verse 19, there was no smith found throughout the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears. But the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his shear and coulter and his axe and matlock. And they had a file for the matlocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But Saul and Jonathan and his son was there found. So just briefly in this story, Israel has their enemies there, and the enemies basically wouldn't let them have any. There's no smiths in Israel. They couldn't make swords, and so they had to go to the Philistines to sharpen anything, and the Philistines wouldn't let them sharpen their swords. So the only people who had swords were Saul's family and his soldiers around him, and that's not a good thing for an army. And then go down to chapter 14 and verse 6, and Jonathan said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to under the garrison of these uncircumcised, that it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint of the Lord to save by few or by many. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them, and if they say unto us, tarry until we come unto you, then will we stand in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come unto us, and we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered us unto them into our hand, and thus shall be a sign unto us. And both the men discovered themselves under the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews came forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor-bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his feet, and his armor-bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan and his armor-bearer and slew them. And the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor-bearer made was about 20 men, and within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the hosts of the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. And the men of, and the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah and of Benjamin looked, and behold, a multitude melted away and went on beating down one another. All right, let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about this. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. May the Spirit speak to us. Thank you for already speaking to us with this wonderful video and specials and verses. And thank you, Lord, for touching our heart for these precious souls. And I pray you just bless the rest of the service. The most important thing, the Word of God, speak to us now. May we be challenged to do great things for you. We pray in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about being surprised by a blessing. Being surprised by the blessing. In this story, they're way outnumbered. They don't have enough swords and spears. And Jonathan, the son of the king, he decides that he just give it a shot. And he said, to his armor bearer, the person who carries his armor and kind of a half soldier who kind of carries it more to carry your weapons with him, but also he can fight. He said, let's go up and see if maybe God will do a work here. Now, he didn't know God to do a work. He just thought, let's see if something will happen if we go give this a shot. And so he says in verse 6, and Jonathan said to the young men that bear his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint of the Lord to save by many or by few. Boy, this is faith. He says, let's go just see if God does something. There's a garrison of soldiers over there. We have an army over here, but it was said that they were hiding like animals in the ground. They were hiding because they didn't have the weaponry nor the manpower to fight this war. But Jonathan said, hey, you know what? Let's just crawl over there and let's just see if God will maybe do something. Because God can save by many or by few just the same if God's involved. So me and you will go and let's see if God does something. Now, can you imagine going to a garrison, a large bunch of enemy soldiers with the two of you, and just said, let's just see what happens. And so he crawls over there and he says, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let them see us. They're over there on the other side of those rocks. And if they see us, if they say, come over to us and we'll fight you, then we know God's delivered us. He's praying for guidance. And he said, if they come toward us, we'll disappear. And we'll know that we're still in trouble. Well, they go over there and they crawl over there and they stand up. And the Philistines look at them and said, hey, look at the Jews have finally crawled out of their holes. And I can finally see some of them. And they said, why don't you just come over here and we'll show you a thing or two. And Jonathan says, all right, God's going to do a work. His armor bearer is going, why do they have to get Jonathan? And so off they run to the Philistines, and they killed about 20 of the guards who were just in about an acre of land, a half acre of land. They killed about 20 of them just quietly and went in and fought with them. And of course, the Philistines thought there's two of them. They didn't call a big alarm or anything. And so they kill them. Well, the garrison over there finds the dead bodies and starts going around and trying to figure out what's going on, but they kind of, it's dark and they hear each other and they hear the rumbling when they're running around looking and trying to find what's going on. And they start getting nervous and they start fighting each other in the dark. And they're fighting and they start killing each other and they think an army's coming and they turn and they hear somebody hiding, they turn and cut them, and that's their co-soldier. And pretty soon the Jews hear this big noise, the whole army over there, and Jonathan and Saul Jonathan and his armor bearer kind of going, this is cool. And the whole all of a sudden Saul and his army looks over and says, what's going on over there? And it says the enemies were just melting away. And in the end, he says, who's doing this? What's going on? And they find out Saul and his armor bearer, or Jonathan and his armor bearer, were missing, and they did this. Now, when you read this story, it's obvious Jonathan did not know their whole enemy was going to kill themselves. But he said, you know, God just might do something here. Let's go give it a shot. And the truth was, he was probably happy to kill the 20. But the whole army was defeated in the end. And he was excited and ecstatic. And eventually, what happened is Saul was very foolish about the process, but they made him a war hero in Israel and saved his life from his own dad, Jonathan. And God did a mighty work just by a couple people who had enough guts and enough faith to give it a shot. There was no great leading we see in the scriptures for Jonathan to attempt to do this. He said, let's just go see if God will do something. And that's the way it's phrased. And so let's go see if God will do something great. And let's just see if the Lord will work. I'm going to read you another verse here. And this is Ephesians, and this is a good verse. It's a verse sometime you might want to memorize, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to his power which worketh in us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Notice God can do above all we ask or think. I got a pretty good imagination of things. And I think of crazy things, but God can do above and beyond what I ever ask or think. William Carey was in the 1700s, was a pastor, and he got a burden for reaching the world. And at that point, the church was so dead, and missions was so dead, that when he started trying to raise the issue of foreign missions, because they were in America and they were in England, and nobody was sending out missionaries for the most part, that they told him, if God decides the heathen needs saved, he can do it without our help. That was the day he lived in. And he went in a very famous sermon to a group of pastors, Baptist pastors, on May 30th, 1792. And he said in a statement in that sermon that has rung true throughout the centuries. He said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. William Carey eventually said, you know what, I'm going to the mission field. And I'm going to India. And out of that meeting, and through his inspiration, they started the Baptist Mission Society. There was a first missionary sent out of America, William Carey was. He went to India, and he began translating the Bible into their language, and wasn't long before he began to reach multitudes. And literally today, if you go to southern India, you will find converts from converts from converts from converts who trace their way back to William Carey in the mid-1700s. He had such an impact. But he was gutsy. He said, let's attempt something great for God. Let's be missionaries, when nobody was missionaries. And by the way, no mission board, no easy transportation. Listen, I'm going to fly to Haiti in a month. I'll fly to Miami, and then I'll fly to Haiti. It'll take me 7 hours of flight. And I don't mind flying, and I'll get peanuts even. And you know what? That's easy travel. Read Travel in the 1700s. You're lucky to get there. And if this man said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God, why would God bless and do great things for people who aren't going to do anything big, who aren't even going to try? Step out in faith. See what God will do. Jonathan said, let's just give it a shot and see what will happen. It's like somebody coming to me and saying, can you give me a nice car? I want to have the nicest car in the world so I can pick people up for church. I said, you can't drive, and you don't come to church anyway. Why would I do that for you? Somebody else comes in, and they got 15 people crammed in their Honda Civic. And they say, Pastor, can you give me a van to bring people to church? I said, you know what? You're the kind of person who deserves to get something. You're trying. You're doing something. You're going forward. And too many people don't want to attempt something great and just see if God just might do something big. They live in their little security of, I am comfortable and secure here. I don't want to step out and do anything big. And a whole army of Israel did that, hiding in holes. But two went out and said, let's just see if God might do something here. Let's just see if God might do something here. And God does wonderful things with people who will attempt great things for God. Just some quick, brief thoughts with the short time we have. Number one, people who did see the Lord work didn't always know it was going to happen. People who saw God do a great work didn't always know it was going to happen. It's called faith. Sometimes the people who've done the greatest work said, I am not worthy or capable of doing this, but we'll give it a shot. And they didn't. Jonathan did not know that was going to happen. And William Carey did not know how much he would reach India. And the Bible is full of people who had no idea that God is going to do that great of a work. But God just is waiting to bless. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for to do great works for those whose heart is perfect toward him. It says to show himself mighty to those whose heart is perfect toward him. God is just looking for somebody who says, there's a person who wants to try something great. There's a person who believes I can do something big. You know what? Let's get in that. You're trying something big. You're trying something big. They don't always know what the world will do, what God will do and what will happen and how the world will change. They didn't know how God was going to work. You don't have to have a micromanaged set-up plan of God doing mighty things, of God using you in a great way, in order for God to use you in a great way. You might just say, let's just see if God will do something if I try to do something great. Why stay in mediocrity? Do something great for God. Try it. Try it. You know, we have a big God in heaven, amen? We don't need to sit here in smallness. Listen, We just got a little tiny church here in the middle of the hardest area in America. And here we are with this little tiny church in a rented building. And who are we? Except for, you know what? We tried to reach the world. And by the way, we're making an impact in the world. You understand, this church may be doing more to reach Haiti than any other church in the world. Understand that. I'll be training at least 150 pastors in 1 month, at least. I'll be preaching in churches. This little church. You say, I don't know. We don't run 150. How can we train 150 pastors? Let's give it a shot. Let's step out and try. And you know what? God's blessed these attempts we've made. God's blessed them. We've had some incredible missions trips. We're known. We're known around the world. By the way, we're known by Satan too. Why? Because we're attempting great things for God. I don't even know how we come up with the money for these things we do. I don't push for money a whole bunch. And yet we are constantly helping pastors and churches with our little church around the world. Right now, a roof is getting built on a church in Haiti. We'll preach in that church when I'm there. We will preach in many churches. Why? We're attempting great things for God. We're attempting great things for God. And we're not doing enough, and I'm not doing enough. And how many times have I failed and not done the right thing and not done great things? But I want to say, I want to die trying. I want to die trying. I would rather burn out than rust out. And they don't always know what's going to happen. They don't always know what's going to happen. I started out in Haiti. All I was trying to do was find a pastor for a church in the country. And next thing I know, we have a major national pastors conference going on. And you don't know what's going to happen. You just give it a shot. Number one, people who did great things for God did not always know great things were going to happen. They just gave it a shot. Number two, do what you ought to do with or without perfect faith, and see what happens. See, because there's surprise blessings from God. Let me watch people be surprised in the Bible. I'm going to read out of Acts. You don't have to turn there, but you can. Acts chapter 12. Watch people be surprised. Here's what happens. Preacher gets put in jail. One of the disciples gets killed, and then they take Peter and put him in jail. He's the preacher there. And it says the church started praying without ceasing. Day and night they began praying for Peter in jail. They literally put 20 or so soldiers around Peter to keep him in jail. Church goes and prays. The middle of the night, the angel comes in and he puts sleeping dust on all the soldiers. He walks up, opens a gate. Peter's locks fall off his hands. The angel walks up and kicks Peter and says, "Get up." Peter gets up, looks around, says, "What's going on here?" He says, "Follow me." He walks out. He's following him out. The gate of the prison swings open by itself. Peter walks out behind him. The angel walks Peter up to the house where they're all praying. Church is in there praying. He knocks on the door. Girl comes to the door. Who is it? They're under persecution. It's Peter. She says, "A teenage girl." Teenage girls. And off she runs. Downstairs. "Peter's the door. Peter's the door." They don't believe her, of course. And then, "I don't believe you." And Peter's standing at the door still. She never even opened the door for him. Of course, he could be arrested again. And she comes down, and they said, "We do not believe you." Acts chapter 12 and verse 13. It says, and as Peter knocked the door at the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And she knew Peter's voice and opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." There's faith. She comes down, and they said, "Peter's there." They said, "You're crazy." They're sitting there praying, "God, please deliver Peter, keep him alive, get him out of jail, and Lord, help him and help Peter and be with him. He's the gate. He's waiting out there." "You're crazy." They were just humans like you and I. But guess what? They went to the gate, and there's Peter. And he was out of prison. And nobody knew he was out of prison. The people who put him in prison the next day found him out preaching and said, "I thought he was locked up." And you know what? You know what? They didn't even know it was going to happen. It was just a surprise blessing. I mean, he got right out of jail when they prayed. Why not pray for it? God just might surprise you. God might just do something big. And you know what? Don't be afraid to pray big prayers. God just might answer them. You say, "I want God to use me to do this thing." If you know the stuff that we're looking to do as a church, you institutionalize me. You'd think I was crazy. You'd say, Pastor, you don't have the capacity. And nobody's ever done that before. And I'd say, right on both counts. But you know what? We got a real big God. Let's give it a shot. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's see if God might do something big. Let's see if God might surprise us and just do something big like that. So there's a great verse in the book of Psalms. I got it written down here somewhere. Psalm 81, verse 10. It says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Some of you could do that very well. And you know what? God says, open your mouth wide. How much you want in your mouth? Give it a great shot. Go attempt something great for God. Go try to make a difference. Go just see if God might bless. You know, you might think that person might never get saved. Go give it a shot. Go talk to them. Invite them to church. Go witness to them. You might think God can never use you to do that ministry. You might think God will never give you that kind of person to marry. Give it a shot. God might surprise you with a big blessing. God might do something big, and it's a surprise by a blessing is a great place to be in. They didn't expect Peter the first night to be at the church. They just started praying. But you know, God can do big things for those who think God can do big things. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. But he's doing things for people who are praying. He's doing things for people who are trying. He's doing things for Jonathan and his armor bearer, not Saul and the rest of the people not even checking to see. Check and see. Give it a shot. Listen, somebody needs to go out and say, God, I got a big God. Let's see if God might just do something here. And try that. Number three, a doubter who never steps out leads a small, unmiraculous, unaccomplished, secure life. The people who never step out, a doubter who never steps out, the cynic who says it's never going to work, leads a small, unmiraculous, unaccomplished, secure life. You'll be secure, but you'll never accomplish anything great. You cannot be afraid of failure in life. We got a lot of people paralyzed by failure and a fear of failure. You know how many people failed? You know how many times Abraham Lincoln ran for office and lost? There is a lot of people who just say, you know what? Something big might happen. Something great might happen. How about this? Show me where Peter was in the boat with the rest of the disciples where Jesus told him, come unto me. Peter said, if that's you, Lord, tell me to come to you. How many people walked in the water? Jesus and how many? One. Peter. And Peter got to the boat and said, if it's you, bid me to walk to you on the water. That's kind of a crazy request. It wasn't like there's a trail there. Jesus out there in the ocean, in the waves, in the storm, he says, that's you, Jesus. Tell me to come to you. Jesus didn't say, Peter, come to me in the first place. Peter said, I'm going to come out to you. So Jesus said, come. Peter got out of the boat, walked in the water, and 11 others sat there and said, that's really cool. And the cynic said, I bet he's going to sink somewhere along the way. And by the way, he started to sink, and Jesus lifted him up. And you know what? If you told me, guess what? Pastor Brian, you're going to walk across Puget Sound, and Jesus is going to meet you out there, and you're going to fall into the water, but he's going to lift you out of the water, I'll take that. I'd do that. I'd walk in the water. And by the way, forever, Peter walked on water. And the other disciples didn't. And I'd rub it in if I were him. You land walkers ain't nothing. And I wouldn't worry about the fact that I might have sunk. I walked out to Jesus on the water. I walked out to Jesus on the water. I walked on water. I stepped out of the boat. And you know, if I were one of the guys who stayed in the boat, I'd have been forever jealous. Wouldn't you? I'd be forever jealous. Just think of all the fishing stories you could have if you went out, if you could walk on water. I mean, that would be awesome. I want to be the person I want to be the one, not the 11. What if you get out and you step out and you sink? Then I grab the side of the boat and climb back in. I failed plenty of times before. Doesn't make me live trembling in a hole of mediocrity of life. Our church many years ago, we got a burden. We wanted to reach the bases. We want to reach our military bases down there. I drove around those bases with somebody and drove around and looked around and said, so many people here. I want to reach some of these soldiers. We care about these soldiers. And I tried everything to reach those bases. We tried a lot of things. We went and had military feeds on there. We went and tried to reach those bases every way I knew. I put an advertisement in the Ranger, the newspaper that went down there. And then we had a special day of Military Appreciation Day. And you know what? We didn't do anything. Our Military Appreciation Day, we'd have one visiting soldier. From that advertisement, we'd have one visiting soldier. Aren't you depressed? Isn't that terrible? Did that? No. I tried. And it didn't happen. And you know what? God kept record. And I bet you some of the big things we've done in some other areas, I bet you God did because we tried. And I'm not, and if God says, you know what, go try to reach the French, Portuguese, Polish people that live under a bridge in Spanaway. And I go try to reach them, and God puts it in our heart, we're going to try. And I do not, if you're the person who always says, it's not going to work, it might not. How's your life working? Mr. is not going to work, Mrs. is not going to work. I don't sit here and live in fear of trying something great. I've taken missions trips that were, I thought bigger things were going to happen, but I took a trip. And I had some mission trips where I said, what in the world is going on? This is incredible. I've had mission trips where people have been, the whole service, the whole crowd came down and was wailing out to God. The entire everybody was there. Had some great days. You know, I'm not afraid. I don't want to live sitting there back there and saying we don't got enough swords over here. We're just going to stay here and be happy in our security. Listen, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Step out and try something big because God may surprise you. And you don't have to have perfect faith. We just read a couple stories. They didn't know God was going to do something. But God put it on their heart to try it. And he gave it a shot. And Peter walked on water. And the other ones didn't. We've failed before where I guess you could call it failure, where nothing big happened and we tried something big. But you know what? If we don't learn to try things big, when God does say, this is the thing I want and this is a big thing, we're going to stay never trying anything big. And so we are never meeting God when he's ready to do something big because we stay in smallness, never try anything big. Don't be afraid to pray for big things because you're afraid your prayer won't get answered. God knows what needs answered. And he'll answer, listen, you want to pray for revival in America? Pray for it. God just might do it. You want to pray for that family member who is hard as anything to get saved? Pray for him. And then even try go witnessing to him. You might even go there and say, they are not going to listen to me. I know they're not going to listen to me. And you might go there and they might not. But if you do that 5 times, you might find 3 of them shock you and get saved. And the one who sits there and says they're not going to listen and never does anything, never witnesses to anybody, and so they never see when God intervenes. And Jonathan just said, let's go see what happens. God might just work for us. And if they do it this way, we're going to go fight them. And if not, we'll go back. Let's walk on the water. He's a fisherman. He'd been wet before. Let's try it. Jesus told him to come. Give it a shot. Ask God. God, give me something big to do. Go out and God, you might get this crazy idea. And you might say, you know what? I'm going to try to do this and bring a bunch of people to church by doing this. If it's not immoral and unethical, you know, we're going to give you it's Budweiser Sunday at church. Don't do that. Okay. God will not bless that. Okay. And but you anything moral and ethical, you get a idea. So you know what? This is kind of crazy. I'm going to try this. Don't be afraid to be laughed at. Don't be afraid for people to say, you can't do that. Let them say it. Give it a shot. Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. William Carey was the first missionary out of America. And now America sent more missionaries than any country in the world. Because he said, let's go for it, guys. Let's send a missionary. Send me over there. You attempt great things for God. You expect great things from God. Next, for those who are surprised with big blessing, it's like a dream come true. Let me take you to Psalm 126. It's a beautiful set of verses there. Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. I love that verse. They were in bondage and God delivered them. And they said, we are like them that dream. Then is our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Isn't that great? We're like those that dream. I'm living a dream. Listen, when I was in Haiti last time, I was going out to a church way out in the middle. I mean, in the middle of nowhere. And on the way, we're coming back from that church, and there is a house. And in Haiti, it's not voodoo is not as common as it used to be. But the people who are actually real voodoo practitioners, some people mix it with Catholicism, but the real practitioners have a red flag on their house. And we stopped, and we were doing something there for a minute, and there right next to us was a voodoo house. And the people from the area there with it, we had a big truck full of people, were kind of nervous about that house. And I felt like God wanted me to go witness that guy or gal or whatever is in there. But they said, we got to go, we're in a hurry. And I didn't go. And I felt like then I was supposed to go to the house and witness that voodoo guy. Oh, come on, you know how wicked voodoo is? You know how it's demonic? This guy's probably possessed. Probably is. But you know what? I'm going to that guy's house this time. You think he'll get saved? I have no idea. We'll give it a shot and see what happens. I'm not afraid of a voodoo guy. I got greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm going to tell him, we're going to stop there. I don't care how busy you are. We're going to go preach the gospel to that guy. And none of the Haitians might go with me. And if they don't go with me, I'll speak to them in English and ask God to translate it into Creole. I wouldn't do that. You might fail. I might. But I'll get a lot closer to winning the Christ than you will. Who says it ain't going to happen? Probably nobody thought Apostle Paul would get saved. Listen, I was the terror of my neighborhood, and everybody probably thought he'll never become a Christian. First person who witnessed to me, I got saved. God's a big God ready to do things that'll get himself glory. His problem, he's got this clog down here of people are afraid to try anything great and let him stretch his arm and show what he can do. Get a vision. Go try something. Give it a shot. Don't be afraid. You got a big God. Jonathan didn't have a leading from God. He said, let's just see if God will get in this. Peter said, if it's you, Lord, bid me. I want to walk in the water. Bible is full of people who didn't even have all the faith. And I'll tell you this, I don't have all the faith. I'm just not afraid to look stupid. I'm just not afraid to fail. Because I found in my 10 attempts, I have 2 failures and 8 great things that happened. But my nature is very much to just sit here and have 10 very secure blahs. And when I get into my little secure zone of I don't want to do anything that might be outlandish or weird or be laughed at, guess what? I do very little for anything, and nothing great ever happens. And you know what? Life's too short, and eternity is too long for me to do nothing. I have a big God who wants to do big things. And if I'm the only one crazy enough to step out and try to do great things, then guess what? I'm the one collecting the money while everybody else is saying it's raining dollar bills, and they stay in their house. Because they're afraid it's going to start raining coins. In the meantime, my pockets are full. Figuratively. Oh, man. You know God wants to use you. Do you know you can reach some people? Do you know there's some things you could do that nobody else can do if you just say, let's just see if God, I'm going to try and just see if God would do it. I'm just going to, and it could be 1,000 things. And it could be you need to get a better job, and it could be you need to go try to get a job you don't even think you qualify for. And it might be you're going to try to win a certain person to Christ. But God might just get involved if you'd try and pray. Because God's a big God. And the Bible's full of people who are shocked and said, it actually happened. And when you pray big prayers, you will occasionally say, it's like a dream come true. I did not. You know what? Ask God for it. Go give it a shot. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Life's short, and God's big, and eternity is long. Get busy. Go give it a shot. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Lord, there's so many stories in the Bible we could have gotten to. Lord, we just got to Peter and Jonathan and the disciples praying in a house. But Lord, there's so many stories in the Bible of people like David running into the valley to fight Goliath because it needed to be done. And if he'd have died, he'd have died valiantly in faith. And if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have died, they'd have went to heaven. There's just so many stories, Lord. I pray that we'd attempt great things for you. Lord, I pray if somebody doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior today, they'd be saved. I pray that those who know you today would be people of faith. If they jump in with this church and say, this is my church, I'm excited, we're trying to do great things, and they'd make it their church. And dive in head first, full scale, trying to see great things. Lord, I pray that you'd have some people down here who'd open their mouth wide and you'd fill it, who you would show you can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. May we realize that you can do great things and believe you and give it a shot and really get a prayer life that asks for big things. Lord, just work through us in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we've had limited time today.